Fáinne gal an lé Iarla Ólaonard. He'll be performing with us this coming Friday night as part of the Arena Culture Night Special. Now, a heartfelt tribute to the life and work of the late poet Gerald Daw, who passed away last year, will be taking place this coming Sunday in his adopted home of Dunleary in County Dublin. It'll be an evening filled with poetry and music, and all within the walls of the magnificent Lexicon Library and Cultural Centre with its bird's eye view of the bay. Amongst those reading Gerald's poems at the celebration will be his great friend Gerard Smith, who's also a poet and poetry editor of the Irish Times. Gerard, thank you for joining us in studio this evening.
Delighted to be here.
Yourself and Gerald were friends for many years, and his death was a great loss to yourself and to those who were close to him and his family and his friends, but to people who loved his poetry as well. Tell me how you first met, or at least became aware of one another.
Well, I can tell you exactly, and I can't do this for anyone else, I think. We met on June the 16th, 1982. Bloomsday, and we met in Galway, and I know this because I have a gift that Jerry gave me that day, a book by the great Polish poet Czesław Miłosz, and he inscribed it. We had been corresponding, I think, for about 3 years before that. He was editing a writing page in the Connacht Tribune, and I think I made first contact by sending him some poems. As far as I can remember, the event to which I went in Galway in 1982 was the launch of an anthology he had edited called The Younger Irish Poets. One of many examples of Gerard's championing of emerging and other writers. He was very, very committed in that regard to working on behalf of others. So that was the initial meeting, and that's when the friendship began and lasted until his death.
Tell us, maybe for those people who aren't overly familiar with his life, tell me about that and about the journey that he took.
Very interesting journey in many ways. He was a Belfast boy who became a West of Ireland man, and settled very easily when he came to teach in Trinity in Dublin. I think it was Longley that said that Jerry's Belfast accent sounded very much at home in Dublin, which is quite a compliment to him. He had left Belfast sometime around 1970, just as the Troubles were beginning. He had, of course, he had been in Coleraine University. And then I think it was around 74, he went to teach in Galway University, and he was there for quite a number of years. And then eventually coming to Dublin, where along with his Trinity College colleague, the late Brendan Kennelly, the two of them co-founded the Oscar Wilde Centre for Irish Writing in Trinity, which has produced quite a number of significant younger writers over the years. Jerry, of course, was a much loved teacher. And first and foremost, he was, of course, a poet, but also a wonderful memoirist, a trilogy of wonderful memoirs set in Belfast, pre-Troubles Belfast, and memoirs that give a sense of a very dynamic city. A lot, of course, Jerry was a big music fan, and that was something I think that bonded us over the years. And he recounts in those memoirs. One of them is not just a homage to the city of Belfast, but also a homage to his great friend Van Morrison. Jerry recounts the liveliness of the scene in Belfast, and coming towards the end of the 60s, kind of he sees it fading away and things changing. The memoir is certainly, for me, you know, that a city that, it gave me a great understanding. Reading those memoirs gave me a great understanding that many of us here in the South feel is an alien place, quite frankly, despite its proximity.
You're going to read something from one of his poems, maybe Laughter and Forgetting, because that kind of maps out his Belfast.
That is very much a Belfast poem and maps out a journey. A journey, in fact, I recall taking with Jerry. He was a wonderful guide to Belfast, the best you could get. And it's also an example of Jerry's use of plain speech and the kind of refinement, poetic refinement, that can be found in the use of plain speech, or what he himself once referred to as the clearly etched poem, Laughter and Forgetting by Gerald Daw. The wine store has gone lilac, and where the Jaff Memorial stands in a forlorn green, the laggan glides by. A set of girl rowers sculls in and out of the winter sun. It's cold enough making your way up Ridgeway Street. The houses on both sides change hands each year. Broken banisters, the ancient skylight. Ireland's Saturday nights at the back of the water tank. Newspaper shops, home bakeries, a restaurant in what was somebody's front room, and the attic that's a store has initials carved on the windows, leaded flashing, that no one knows anything about, except maybe you walking downtown as the school kids head out to the traffic lights. Old folk sit in the gardens among the deepening shades. And over at the bookshop, set texts for the first years are piled high. Indie music blasts out from the students' union, while those unwelcome stand at the low wall, waiting admission. There's rifling bottles down the back of the Lombard Cafe, and there's empty cans of harp and flagons of scrumpy dumped in King William's Park. Do you remember? Do you remember? Do you remember what? The hillsides are glorious, and that's as good as it gets. A wonderful punchline at the end of the poem, which you often find in Jerry's poems.
What was it about Gerald Daw as a poet that made him so distinctive, do you think?
I think I refer to the plain speech. After he died, his publisher, Peter Fallon, referred to him as a Lone Ranger. You know, Jerry did his own thing in his own way. In one of the letters he sent me, and this bearing way, way back, after the publication of his first book in 1978, Sheltering Places, and before the second book, I was rereading letters he wrote to me after his death. And in one of them, he declares his intent as a poet. And I think we must have been exchanging views on the northern poets, if you like. But he said, I want to do something clearly different. I'm searching for a language that's hard and forthright and still poetic. Even at that young age, he knew exactly. It's a wonderful mission statement. And it's one that if you look back at the body of work, you can say that he achieved it and achieved it fully. The other remarkable thing about him, and the only other example I can think of immediately in terms of Irish poets, is that his prose, those memoirs, actually illuminate the poetry in a way that gives you more insight into the work. Not many poets have done that or can do it successfully.
Could you read something else first? Perhaps Only Son?
Yes, this is a marvellous poem. It was singled out, I think, by President Higgins in his tribute to Jerry after his death. It's no secret that Jerry was estranged from his father. There had been a marriage breakup. He's written about it. He's referred to it in several prose pieces. But he obviously discovered after the death of his father, this is a poem in memory, I guess, that the father had actually kept track of him, and he found cuttings that the father had kept of his career and his successes as a writer and a teacher. Only son, Gordon Aubrey Daw, 1923-2015. How strange to learn you kept an eye on my unpredictable journey. Were the cuttings stored safely away or kept to hand in the living room beside TV and fire? Staged photographs from the West, anonymous backdrops, your only son awkward as ever before the camera. I have one of you in return, looking the very best, hands in embrace, the sunlit beaming face.
I wanted to ask you before we finished about his legacy and what you think that is. Not only his legacy, but the legacy of others as well. He wrote the book about Van Morrison, the memoir, and the donation of his books and pamphlets and programs to the Dunleary Public Library as well.
He was multifaceted, multi-talented, and the legacy extends far beyond the poems. I mean, one of the things that I admired Jerry greatly for, going back to the selflessness, is that he was a champion of the outsider, the maverick, and there were several acts of retrieval or reclamation where he brought back into the light writers who had been forgotten, neglected. Someone like, for example, Etna McCarthy, a wonderful, because female poets in the 1940s, 1950s weren't paid much attention. She was a doctor and a very fine poet, friend of Beckett. And Jerry, along with Owen O'Brien, produced, finally, she died in the 1950s, but Jerry was instrumental in a wonderful volume of her work being published. But one of his great achievements was Earth Voices Whispering, an anthology of Irish poetry on the First World War. I mean, voices that had been hushed and pushed aside, and he had written extensively on those poets, and others like Charlie Donnelly, the poet who had died in the Spanish Civil War. He was always on the lookout for, you know, someone who had been sidelined, and if he thought it, they merited it. He worked very hard to bring them back into the mainstream.
We're going to finish up by playing Gerald Daw reading one of his own poems, All Things Considered. It was broadcast on Sunday Miscellany here on Radio 1 in July of 2023. Maybe you could set that up for us and tell us a little bit about it.
It's another example of showing Jerry's mastery of the condensed lyric form, and how an unshowy poem can be the most memorable in many ways. It's a poem of observation and reflection, and the poet's gift here is the intertwining of these two aspects of the work. It's full of suggestive details in the first stanza. Jerry was, I think, keenly observant, and you see it in this poem, but I particularly love how he quietly brings himself into the poem at the end of the first stanza before leading us into the second stanza, where the register of the poem changes completely. I think, and he may well, if he was here, disagree with me on this, there's a wistful or fragile ending to the poem, the final lines. But these are lines that actually make you go back to contemplate what preceded them.
Let's listen to that now.
All things considered. Ceaselessly, the magpie's rattlesnake call and noisy dance makes you sit up. It's like a raid. They drop from the sky and are simply there by chance, hopping down back walls and as quickly gone all at once, before the intemperate gull swings into view again, and so you have me idling by a window. Where did all the time go? From the rainy seasons out the country to the high summers of wraparound light as far as the swirling mackerel skies, and the heavy cattle flummoxed by the wrong, unmoving gate. We saw it all from under the stars. Now I only know what isn't there.
That was All Things Considered, Gerard Smith. Thanks for sharing your thoughts and the poems of your great friend and the poet, the late Gerald Daw.
Thank you.
Home Again, a celebration of Gerald Daw, will take place this Sunday evening at 7:30 in the studio at the Lexicon Library and Cultural Centre in Dunleary. The evening will be hosted by journalist and broadcaster Dervil MacDonald, with many of Gerald's poetry as well as music by Eleanor Shanley and Connor Linney. You'll find more details at poetryireland.ie. And that is it from Arena for tonight, produced by Sheila O'Callaghan. Research was by Paula Shields. Mary Elizabeth Bruton was the broadcast coordinator, and Liam Mullen was in charge of sound supervision tonight. I'm Rick O'Shea. I'll talk to you tomorrow evening from 7 o'clock. John Creedon is next.